Mr. DJ, put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
It's music time, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first Madonna album to ever leak online. Napster. Do you remember that? I'm sure there's a few old geeks listening that do remember Napster. Madonna's eighth studio album, Music, was released in September of the year 2000. But a whole month before that, the entire album, the complete finished product, was leaked online. Tragedy, but it didn't stop its success. The Music album was another certified global hit for Madonna, despite only having three official singles. Has that ever happened before? Just three? What a ripoff.
You suck!
And like Kylie and Gaga well after her, Madonna tapped into the country theme. Thank God, oh so subtly. The music infused with just a few hillbilly twangs here and there, and of course, a fashionable cowboy hat, just to make sure people were in on that joke. Hey, Mr. Redneck, look who's faggy now. We have a party of Madonna fans on the line, so many, in fact, that we will need to introduce them kind of formally so our listeners can keep up with who is who. And we're going to start off with Mr. Ray of Light himself. G'day, James.
Well, I'm James Cimino. I am a journalist, a Brazilian journalist. I work as a correspondent in New York for a newspaper in Rio. And my favorite Madonna era is Erotica. And what Madonna means to me is good music.
Oh, that's lovely, James. Thank you very much. And Albie, otherwise known as Mandonna, is also on the line. G'day, Albie.
Good day. How are you?
I'm great. I love the way you say good day. That's awesome. Tell us about yourself, Albie.
Yes. So I'm a huge Madonna fan. So Mandonna is my Twitter handle. I love the American Life era. I love the Ray of Light era. Those are my two eras that I love so much. And by the way, I'm from Los Angeles. I forgot to squeeze that in.
LA. There you go. Oh, you are one of the beautiful
I'm from
people.
LA. Yes, Los Angeles is for people who sleep, but that's another album. so anyways, what Madonna means to me, she is an artist, first and foremost. She is literally the music definition of Picasso to me. She is constantly evolving and always fighting for what's right.
Oh, I love it. I love it. The musical Picasso. Great to have you on the line, Albie. Thank you for joining us. G'day, Sarah.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. First time podcaster, long time listener from what I understand, Sarah.
Yes.
tell us all about the Sarah story.
Well, I'm 24. I'm from Canada. So you're going to get kind of like a younger generational view on like Madonna and like
Excellent.
Music in general.
Excellent.
And my favorite era is Erotica era because it's something that inspires me every day to push boundaries, and it's impactful to pop music and to our society in general, I found, because of the promotional campaign that it had and just the impact overall with the different types of themes that were in it, because there was LGBTQ themes in there as well and sexual themes. And it was overall, I think, one of her most powerful and impactful eras that really defined Madonna as an artist.
Beautiful. It sounds like she has had a great impact on you, like she has the rest of us. I'm glad you're here, Sarah. Stay on the line. We're going to be talking all things music really soon. Antonio, are you there?
Yes, I am.
G'day, g'day. Oh, listen to that voice. Wow, you come through on this perfect line, mature, wise. This is what's coming through, Antonio. Is it true? Is that what Antonio's all about?
I would like to think so. I am from Belize. I am an archaeologist.
Wow.
I've been a fan since I was 6 years old, but my two favorite eras would have to be Erotica and Ray of Light. I cannot pick one over the other. Erotica, because for me, it means freedom and accepting who you are and being willing to push the boundaries, even going against the grain. And in Ray of Light, because of how skillful she wrote all of these songs and what it meant to push art as an artist.
I love the fact that you're a rock man who's into the ultimate pop star.
That I am, absolutely.
Nice having you on the line, Antonio. We'll get into the podcast really soon. G'day, Justin.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome. You've been listening on YouTube, yes. I understand.
I have been. I'm Justin. I'm from Iowa. I've been a fan since the True Blue era.
Wow.
My favorite era, though, would probably be the Erotica era, just because of the time
amazing.
In my life that it came out. I was a young gay kid, small town Iowa, and that album like really opened my eyes to like what is out there. And I think, you know, what does Madonna mean to me? Like, I use her, basically all of her albums are like timestamps in my life. If I'm trying to remember an event, I'll be like, oh, that would have been the Erotica era. That would have been 92, 93. Like, I use her albums as like a reference in my life. So basically she's intertwined in like my every thought, basically.
Isn't that amazing? And how many of us said Erotica had a big impact on us? And we did the Erotica podcast before, and Kyle and Felix and I were saying the same thing at the time, that it did have a huge impact on a lot of teenagers of a certain age. It resonated big time. And all these years later, it still is. Thank you, Justin. We're going to get into this now. We're obviously not here to talk about Erotica, although it sounds like they all want to. We're here to talk about the album Music. So let's kick this party off. Mr. DJ, James, what do you think of the Music album?
Well, some things are important to say about the Music album. I think the Music album is the Ray of Light baby.
Oh, that's graphic.
Because it's the second very electronic album that Madonna makes. But the album is it's considered one of the 1001 albums to listen before you die. There's a book that has this list. It's this album, Music, the single Music, was the last Madonna single to reach the top one at the Billboard Hot 100, I guess. This album is also the first album with the production of Mirve Azmadai, the French DJ. And I think this album has one of the most brilliant intros ever. Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on. I want to dance with my baby. And this is everybody's Friday night, meeting with his friends or her friends or their friends, going to a club.
Hey, does amazing. Anyone know those famous opening lines? Did Madonna speak those?
Yes.
Right. I've always wanted to know
the
that.
The voice is just distorted, yeah.
Was this really Madonna's country album, or was it just typical Madonna picking up on a theme and using it for amazing imagery?
Well, basically, I feel like she introduced more trip hop more into this album, because like she did work with William Orbit, and then she introduced Mirve, and he like really influenced like the trip hop aspect of it. You know, not so like you were saying, Tim, like not so much like country, but like her own version of country. Like you heard the glitchiness, and for me, what listening to the album, I was like blown away. It was like it created a new genre, like an electro country hop, if you will. So like, just her reinventing the wheel of music, that was just amazing for me.
I think, if I remember, the whole country theme initially was probably not even her idea. I think it was the person who took the photos for the album.
I read that too.
Yeah, and then she liked it so much how it turned out that she decided to keep this theme going. The album itself is not country. It has some elements of folk music in it, but it's a lot edgier. It is definitely trip hop and electronic. And she has always said that the music in Europe is a lot more interesting than American music, because they take a lot more risks. They're a lot more creative. So it's kind of natural that she would go to someone else from Europe following William Orbit, but she didn't want to go and basically do Ray of Light 2.0. That's why Music is a lot edgier and a lot darker for me.
I understand she recorded the bulk of this album, or possibly all of it, in England as well, quite deliberately. And to pick up on that reference you made around the artistry of, or the imagery of the album, I understand the photographer was so convinced that this was the right imagery for this era that he actually said, I'm going to shoot it for free, and if you don't like it, you don't have to pay me.
That is true.
I see this album as kind of like a transitional album in a way, because it's like so short, but there's a lot within it. And it's like kind of like the aftermath of like Ray of Light in a sense, where there's still that spiritual sense and that like atmospheric element from like William Orbit. Mm-hmm. And then it's also kind of like the stepping stones to American Life with Mirrorways and the production of that.
So true.
There's a lot of seeds planted in this with the acoustic that planted that I think grew into American Life. So I think that there's a lot of songs that you can point to as like stepping stones as to the American Life sound.
Oh, Justin, you're so right about that. And James and I had a discussion in the Ray of Light podcast, and I'm going to get hanged, especially in this group of people, for saying this, but I found it a dark day when Madonna decided to pick up the guitar and become expert in it, because I just think she gets a little bit carried away with it, okay? But
Stop it.
I know. Maybe I should just back away from the crowd.
I'm out of this cast right now.
Okay. Does anyone else have a thought about Madonna picking up the guitar? I've seen her in interviews playing tracks.
Well, I know. Wasn't she always a guitarist? I thought she was always a guitarist, like in her early days.
True, true.
I think she was a drummer. Oh. Wasn't she a drummer?
She was a drummer.
She was a drummer, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, she plays beautifully. I remember seeing her on Letterman when she sang Don't Tell Me, and she played so effortlessly. I'm not really sure how I like her with electric guitars, but in terms of an acoustic, she can do no wrong.
It's how she writes her music, as I understand it, too, which I totally respect. Like, she often picks up the guitar. And, yeah. Go on, James. Give it to me.
There, when she plays Hung Up in the guitar, and she samples with Pantera. I mean, the whole stadium went crazy.
Let's delve into the background of this album a little bit, because from After Ray of Light, there were plans to embark on a complete concert tour. But then she was filming that next best thing, and of course she has wanted so desperately to break into movies fully and properly and respectfully for so long. So I understand that that was cancelled, and then she started working on this album. But of course we had a few tracks in between, didn't we? We had Beautiful Stranger, which is so similar to I Think It's Amazing on the album.
Yes.
And we also had American Life.
They're sisters.
A pie, sorry. So can we just stop for a moment and discuss American Pie? Because my recollection at the time, at least here in Australia, was when she released American Pie, it was considered sacrilege. How dare Madonna touch American Pie?
Well, the author, Don McLean, said, I got so many gifts from
a goddess.
Kings, or for God, but it's the first time that I get a gift from a goddess. So the creator of the song said that all the others should shut up.
I think
if I remember correctly,
American Pie is flawless. It's so flawless, American Pie. I love it. I mean, I
love it too.
Here, it's amazing.
It's a good beautiful song, but if I recall, I think she also did not want to record that song, but they made her do it.
Correct. I heard that Rupert Everett, who co-starred with her in The Next Best Thing, kind of was the one that persuaded her to record it. And she only said she recorded it if he sang on it. So he actually sings background on that song.
It's the gay guy, right?
Yep.
Rupert Everett.
Correct. Yes.
I used to have a crush on him.
But she was also not happy that the song was included on the album in some countries.
Yeah. It was on the international edition.
Yeah, and my edition always had. Yeah, it always had.
It's a cover song, and a lot of older generations, like my parents, know the original for it.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad actually says that Madonna's version is a lot better because it's beautifully sung and stuff. And
you can definitely see in the video of American Pie how it's transitioning to that whole music aesthetic. I mean, she's like in that whole like trailer garb and very like country-ish, if you will, very Americana. So it's going into music per se, like that whole image.
Well, in going back to the movie soundtrack for The Next Best Thing, I kind of wish she had released the second song as a single, because that is a really beautiful ballad.
Time So Still?
It's a really, really beautiful song.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Austin Powers track.
Madonna is back. She is no longer Earth Mother and spiritual. She's back to give us sex.
This is the best pop tune Madonna has done in the last, I don't know how many years. Beautiful Stranger is really, really good. And it was awarded with the Grammy, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I've got to say, just at this point, before anyone goes any further, it is extraordinary for me to be sitting amongst so many knowledgeable people around Madonna, because I am a mega fan, but unlike some other artists, I don't have, like, I have a deep knowledge, but not as deep as you guys. So I'm just sitting here with my arms folded going, oh, this is good listening. So keep going.
Well, we are glad.
I think, Sam,
stop with the mute. Those days are gone.
I love this track because it's very 60s psychedelic in a way. And just with like the visuals itself, it's very like hypnotizing, but also very fun at the same time. And I wish she would have like bring this back into concert.
Did anyone mention that Beautiful Stranger shares similarities with Amazing, like that whole instrumentation?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Very similar. So
they are sisters.
And can I say something that I heard years ago is that the reason for the three singles on Music is because there was a stalemate between Madonna and the record company, and she actually went to bitch-like levels to stop Amazing from being the single, because the record company were ready to override her and release Amazing.
That is true.
She wanted Impressive Instant to be the single, but when she lost out and when they were on the cusp of releasing Amazing, and she didn't want it because of the similarity to Beautiful Stranger, she did something, and I cannot remember what it was, but it was brilliant, and it stopped the record company from being out. Oh, that's right. She dropped it from the set list, I believe, of Drowned Tour.
What they had planned on doing was to use the concert to make the video. So
yes.
What she was going to do and basically make, you know, a live video from it, and then she found out, you're right, because she wanted Impressive Instant to be the next single. They wanted Amazing.
And oh my God, Impressive Instant. That song is brilliant. Why?
What a lost opportunity. What a lost opportunity.
I know.
Madonna was right. Do we all agree Madonna was right?
That performance in the Drowned World Tour is just to die for.
It was electric. I loved it.
Yes. Did anyone know that the stage design of Drowned World Tour was inspired? This is when she first started working with Jamie King. Who directs most of her tours now. She saw a Ricky Martin concert, and that's how she hooked up with Jamie King. She's like, I want this, I want that, I want multimedia. I want it to look like a mothership when it like first opens. That's why you see the stage rising, and it looks like an alien ship rising.
One of my favorite entrances.
Now, before these Madonna fans go off into the distance, and you can hear them, they're still going, we're going to pull back and we're going to move forward to the first single of the Music album, okay? I hope that's okay with everyone. I don't mean to interrupt. And guess what? We are going to go to Sarah for the first comment on the lead single, Music, because this is phenomenal, Sarah, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't possibly wish, and I'm sure Madonna felt the same, you couldn't possibly wish for a gift like this as a lead single.
I think it's like a great way to start like the new millennium, and it's definitely like her, I would say it's in the same league as like Vogue, like a Virgin, in like those really, really super iconic singles, because everyone knows this song, everyone has heard this song before. It still plays around. I'm from like a really rural area, so they don't tend to like pop artists here, but they play this song a lot in like clubs that are very country and stuff. So I think and the video is just phenomenal overall. I like that she uses the sense of cartoon, and that the outfit she's wearing, the cowgirl, like white. And I think it's like the first time we like seen Madonna as like back to herself, glitzy and glamorous since like for it has been a couple of years. It's been a lot while.
Justin.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better lead single, you know? It was just like, pow, it just comes at you. And, you know, it was kind of back in the day when an artist would just release the lead single before the album would come out. Now we get like 4 or 5 tracks, but I mean, you couldn't ask for a stronger lead single to promote an album. Like, I mean, it's amazing. It just blew me away. And that video was so iconic. I believe she was pregnant during the video, which I think is kind of a fun little tidbit.
Wow.
But yeah, music is one of my favorite, probably my favorite lead single she's ever had.
Nobody would be surprised that Sacha Baron Cohen is in this video clip because Madonna and Sacha Baron Cohen have the same filthy, twisted sense of humor.
Yeah, for sure.
So am I.
She wanted to have fun. She said that when she did Ray of Light, you know, she was grounded, she was centered, she found a new purpose, she had a child, but that in making music she wanted to go back to have some fun.
God damn it.
So she was going to get someone who is just as rude and lewd as she is put inside the video, and she gave us a really sexy music video.
I've got to ask a question to my Madonna panel here. I've always wanted to know what the words are here in terms of music makes the people come together, music. And then this part, I feel like I know the words, but they don't make sense to me. Can somebody help me out there?
How makes
the bourgeoisie and the rebel?
Yeah, but what I know what the bourgeoisie are and I know what the rebel are. But what are they doing?
The dance floor is the place where all the people mix. Music makes the people come together, mix the bourgeoisie and the rebel, mixes the people from the underground and the people that are like super fucking wealthy.
Hang on. So there's where my mistake is the word mix. Music mix the bourgeoisie and the rebel or make?
Yeah, isn't it? Or make the bourgeoisie.
I think it's makes.
It's makes.
Makes the bourgeoisie and the rebel.
If it's makes, then I don't understand the sentence grammatically. Forgive me.
I think well, it's trying to say that
something
it doesn't
else.
Matter who you are, even if you are bougie, if you're a rebel, if you're poor, if you're rich, you enjoy music, and music has the power to transform you and to make you who you are. Music forms the soundtracks to our lives every single day. So you can be basic, you can be bougie, you can be a rebel, but music is important in your life nonetheless.
I truly understand the sentiment. It's just the sentence because I feel like there should be a little end word that says dance or something like that because it makes the bourgeoisie and the rebel do what? Like, I get the sentiment, but it's like the sentence. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
leave a comment if you're listening. Here goes that fool again with his ridiculous questions. But I've wondered that all my life. I just feel like there needs to be an extra word, but it couldn't fit, so she didn't bother. Now, she did a promotion before the release of this album or on the cusp of the release of this album, didn't she? Did she do some mini live performances that were televised?
Yeah, she did like a promotional concert that included like 3 different songs. I think it was Music, Runaway Lover, because Runaway Lover is my favorite song on this album. So that's how I know it's like the only performance for it. And What It Feels Like for a Girl, I believe, Don't Tell Me, An Impressive Instant.
So it was a bit of a taster for the music album. And I think this is the perfect time. We'll come back to how it was received by the critics and by the general public in a moment. But let's go track by track. We've talked about the lead single, Music. Do you want to pick us up there, Sarah, with Impressive Instant, which is track number 2 on the album?
Yeah, sure. I really enjoy this song because it's a very more experimental song on the album, and we kind of delve into that where there's more structured bass songs throughout, but this is kind of delving into the more experimental artistry side of Madonna, experimental dance, electro discotheque, along with little flares of country within it. And I think it's I really wish it was a single with it, because I can imagine a cool video. I kind of actually picture the music video of How God Control Is, where she's like in a disco and sort of way.
Yes.
And pardon?
That would have been amazing. Oh my God.
Yeah, and that's like how I that's like how I picture the narrative of like the song to be when I think of Impressive Instant. It's just going to be something crazy like that. And even that song God Control reminds me of Impressive Instant, which makes me wonder if she was inspired by Impressive Instant.
So I think there's universal agreement that this was a missed single opportunity. My favorite part of this song, and I absolutely love it, James and I spoke about how we like little moments in songs, and my favorite moment of this song is the old-fashioned popping paparazzi light bulbs. Boom, 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 boom. Does anyone hear that? They're actually light bulbs blowing.
Even if it wasn't a single, it still was on the dance charts anyway because of all the plays it was getting in the clubs. So good for her. But have you ever wondered exactly what the hell is she talking about in that song?
I ever thought. I was thinking about it today. And I think that, and I remember the first time that I heard, I think the Impressive Instant is that instance that you meet someone and that you like, you don't know the name of the person, but you know that is the person that you want.
Drug music without the drugs.
Yeah?
Drug music without the drugs.
I think we can do with the drugs or without the drugs. I mean, I don't judge anyone. Sometimes with drugs is even better, believe me.
I would definitely dance that while on MDMA. Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like a girl gone wild.
Now, it's worth stating here that Madonna described this song as downright silly. Doesn't mean she doesn't like it, but that's how she described it. We'll move through. Runaway Lover, track 3.
Runaway Lover. So, in my opinion, this felt like a ray of light, B-side.
It is William Orbit.
It's very William Orbit. It sounded like it could have been really like Ray of Light. And when I first bought this album, like listening to Impressive Instant music and those two banger songs, and it's like, it's new territory. But then when I hear Runaway Lover, which is exquisite, I love the song, I'm not bashing it. It just sounds to me like another Ray of Light B-side to me.
This is somebody's favorite though, isn't it? Who's on the line? That
it's mine. Sorry. It's mine. It's
no shade, no tea. I just, you know, it sounded like a ray of light, baby. So
I have to agree with you on that. It did not sound like it belonged on music. I mean, I'm glad that they used it. It's a nice song. I danced to it, but it sounded like it belonged on Ray of Light. If I ever have to skip one of the songs on the album, it's probably that one.
I think, like, it's actually funny you guys compare this to Ray of Light because I have a friend that doesn't like this song either. He likes most of the other songs on this album, but that one he always, like, says that belongs on, like, American Life or something else instead.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So he thinks that you go in the other direction.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, Ray of Light should have, honestly, there were so many demos from Ray of Light that it should have been a second album. Because remember, they had Like a Flower, there was
Revenge.
I'll say that this is like the one that I actually listened to the most off this album, if I'm being honest. It's one that it really starts your day, you know? Like I can listen to this, like, at any point of the day, and I never thought of it as like a Ray of Lights type of song. I just felt like this was really true to the album itself because I felt it went well after Impressive Instant. And the next song I'm not biggest fan of.
Which is
I Deserve It. Because
tell us about that.
God. Oh my God. First youth in the group.
Okay.
Keep going, Sarah. You keep standing out from the crowd.
I see Justin's avatar like blinking. He's got something to say.
So are we talking about I Deserve It?
We are.
Yes.
I absolutely love that song. I think
me too.
Yeah. Her vocals are beautiful. Are so like stripped. I don't think there's any backing vocals on the first verse for sure. They just sound so like she's just singing right to you. I love it.
She's in love.
Yeah.
She's in love.
Definitely more of the trip hoppy songs, like, you know, with the backbeat and all that. I appreciated that when I heard it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, Madonna, give me that bump. I love it.
Oh, that's why. But, you know, she was in love with Guy Ritchie. It's so sad that the song... that the song yeah. ended up in Love Spent.
You were saying that it was like the sequel to I Deserve It with Love Spent. I remember you saying.
Yeah. Actually, there is like, is Love Spent? She's not. No, it's I Deserve It. She's Not Me and Love Spent.
Well, since this song is about Guy Ritchie, I wonder if she would ever sing that live again. What do you think?
She can take the song anyway. Like, she like does double entendres. Look at what she did with like a version on MDNA. She like takes it to different levels. So she, I think, she can take the song on another tour. Why not?
Let's move through to track five. Amazing. The sister or the cousin of Beautiful Stranger.
I love this song.
Tell us about it.
I know it's supposed to be the sister or cousin to Beautiful Stranger, but there's something about the arrangement and the instrumentation. I know it's Orbit, and it doesn't really fit in with the Muwaz stuff, but I actually like it more than Runaway Lover.
Yeah, I think it's like an overall great composition. And the reason, okay, here's why I don't like I Deserve It. Sorry, I have to just go back to that for a second, is because I think it flows well after like Runaway Lover and like Amazing go well together, because I guess because they're both produced by William Orbit, that it just makes sense for it to go after one another. But lyrically, Runaway Lover and then I Deserve It go well hand in hand, in my opinion. But
that's true. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You're allowed to not like songs. There are some songs.
Yes. I don't like everything. Please. I never listen to Stay or Pretender in the album Like a Virgin.
Me either.
I'm more like along the lines of, I love the moodier songs of Madonna. Like the next track, like Nobody's Perfect. I do love that song because
God, that's gorgeous.
The melancholiness and like the uplifting at the same time. It's just, that's the things that draws me to Madonna. Like, she's very honest with her music. And this one, she's like questioning like her like perfectionist attitude, like nobody's perfect, and basically saying what it is. And the way the instrumentation of that song, I believe everyone can agree with it. It's just really rad.
Well, I'll be. Last night I was listening to the record after I came from 2 days of work. I came home and then I played because I was preparing to the podcast. And in the record is different because this is the end of A side, side A.
Ah.
Yes. Wow. And then I was, see, after I bought the albums in record now, record player, I'm like listening to the music in a different way. Some of them are better in record and some others, no, like Confessions on a Dance Floor. But this one, and then I was listening to Nobody's Perfect, and then it was the end of side A, and I was like, oh my God, this is such a perfect ending for this side of the record. And the other one starts with Don't Tell Me.
Like, she brought a lot of electronica, if you imagine, like, this was a pop record, like, released in Target and Best Buy, and she's bringing electronic to the masses at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it compared a lot later in life after that record. I discovered Goldfrapp, and it reminded me a lot of Goldfrapp's music, like that very electronic sounding. It's like impressive instant for, first and foremost, sounds like very much of a Goldfrapp record. So for her to introduce that electronica vibe, like that deep, deep down electronica vibe, I really commend her for doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to look back in the year 2000, and she was competing with Britney Spears, Christina, you know, and
come
all
on,
of these,
they were competing with Madonna.
No, she had to have a different sound from them to make her album distinct. Otherwise, if she was making the same music that they were, it would just be lost on the radio. So she said that she wanted to make something that would be different from what they're doing, so she could set herself apart, and she did.
Thank God she never did Britney Spears. Ugh.
I think she does a great... I think that with that comment, I think that's exactly what she did, and she executed it very well, because when a lot of that music, you know, is like that soda pop vibe, you know? And like, it's like Backstreet Boys, you know, all that sort of stuff. And like this is very artistic and like just
and mature,
completely different.
Yeah,
and mature. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder though, like when she was writing this record and knowing that she might go on tour after and she might do a song like Nobody's Perfect, do you think when she's writing it and singing it, like she already is getting the visuals for how it would look on tour?
I bet she does.
Oh my God, this is something that I always ask myself.
I could see that.
Who's that?
Definitely.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought she said in like an interview a long, I don't know what era this was, but I swear she said once that whenever she's like recording a song, she always pictures like a movie playing in her head or something.
Mm. I remember her saying that.
Well, that is very true.
We're going
to
move on.
One thing I just wanted to say about Nobody's Perfect that I always thought was kind of interesting is she's singing about nobody's perfect, but then there's that, I'm sure it was deliberate, heavy use of auto-tune, which is used to like make your voice perfect. And I just wondered, like, why, you know, I'm sure she did that for a reason. You know, I'm singing Nobody's Perfect, but I'm
using copying Cher
to make my voice perfect, you know?
I think I never thought about that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
I think she used it because she wanted to, like, create this contradictory of, like, Nobody's Perfect.
Yeah,
with perfection. And I really always admired it about this song.
I think that's a stroke of genius.
Track 8 is the big one, Don't Tell Me. Now, we've already referred to this. I understand that the brother-in-law had a song called Stop. I've listened to it. I think, Justin, it was you who said it's completely different. Justin, what do you make of Madonna's version, Don't Tell Me?
I think Don't Tell Me is, I love it. It's one of my favorite Madonna songs.
Yes.
The opening guitar riff is so iconic. Second you hear that, you know exactly what song it is. I love it. I think it's beautiful. I think the meaning of the song is beautiful. I think the video is probably my favorite Madonna video. I think she looks so natural and so beautiful. I think it's the first time you really see her wearing like a flannel and jeans. You don't see Madonna wearing that. I just think she looks so stunning in that video.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yes, it's one of those iconic choreographies. The performance in the Drowned World Tour is to die for. The performance at the Reinvention Tour, that is a tour that I don't like very much. It's awesome because she mashes up with a bittersweet symphony from The Verve that I love. And it's Electro Country. It's the song, it's one of my top 10 Madonnas, is Don't Tell Me.
It is an absolute classic. What is the track off Madam X that references Don't Tell Me?
And I'm glad that she worked with Jean-Baptiste Mondino, the director, who also shot the album cover and booklet. So it matched well with the theme and it was on point.
Yeah, and he directed Human Nature video.
Yep.
It's one of the most, the better
And videos. Justify My Love.
One of my favorite.
Did that too.
And Justify Definitely. My Love. Oh my love. Oh my God. Just Find My Love. I think I can even start telling the stories about that song. It's too hardcore.
One of the things I like best about the song, I mean, it's a great song. I love her voice. I love the choreography, which me and my friends learned. And when we had parties, we would dance it. But I love the outro.
Oh, you too?
Those ringing bells, right? Those ringing bells.
The outro is so good.
It sounds like someone's getting married.
Honestly, like even non-Madonna fans like this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, well, like when I remember like playing the song, like when I first, I can't believe I'm opening the CD, I'm playing it, and then I hear that song, and I think my CD is skipping because of the glitch. It's like, I thought I didn't return the CD, I swear it is.
That was sabotage.
The effect that she was going for, because a lot of people had the exact same complaint. And I think it was on MTV when she said, no, that's the way that the song is made. Your CDs are not defective, so don't return them.
It takes some musical balls to put a pause like that in the middle. Well, not in the middle, but in a track. It really does. It takes balls.
Is the opening of B-side in the record.
Yeah, still in the song, to put a pause like that, to put silence as a producer. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's brave. We need to talk about what it feels like for a girl. There's a few versions of this, isn't there?
Yes. There's a Spanish
there is.
Lo que siento la mujer, that is on,
she's saying,
that's also Yeah, and it's also on the international version, which I got. So it's
tú tienes lo que siente la mujer.
She speaks Spanish so well, even though I think she said once that she doesn't really understand it, but she enunciates the words so well, you would think she knows Spanish her entire life.
I feel she was Latin in a past life. That's what she's always said. But
Come on. She's Latin now. Her family's Italian and French. Yeah, French Canadians. They are all Latins.
What about the music video, though?
The music video. I love it.
Bands on MTV. I remember how to buy the DVD.
Yes!
Yeah.
Power Rickers. I love Power when Rickers. Her videos are banned from MTV.
Yeah, that was the only way I could see the video, and I bought the DVD single, if anyone remembers, at Tower Records. And this song is so good. Like, what I love about it is that she put Charlotte Gainsbourg's monologue from the Cement Garden. That's the woman that you hear in the beginning. And she's an incredible French actress and French musician as well. But to include her in that little
Sarah, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
It's intimate, and don't feel offended. Are you transgender?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I want you, as a transgender, what do you think of this statement? Because I love this statement in the beginning of the song.
I really enjoy the song overall in general, because it is a message that still carries on today. As for the quote, I'm just gonna like look at it here exactly, and I think that this is like, girls can wear jeans and cut their hair short,
shirts and boots,
shirts and boots, because it's okay to be a
boy,
but for a boy to look like a girl is degrading.
Because you think that
being a girl is degrading.
Keep going, Sarah. Keep going, Sarah.
But secretly,
James, let Sarah follow through with this. Let Sarah follow through.
But secretly, you'd love to know what it's like, wouldn't you? And I think that this is an important message. This is a very important song in her discography, something that I don't feel is heard enough. And it speaks a lot to society on how we view these things, and it's very it's a way she's confronting it, but more in like a subtle way, on like sort of like transphobia in a way, and as well females being masculine as well. And I really appreciate this song. I wish it was one that was more heard of from her, because I find it's very underrated in her catalog, and it's very underrated from her, from this album in general.
Sarah, what does this song mean to you on a personal level?
It's about stepping into someone else's shoes and trying to understand put yourself in their place in sort of a way, and try to understand who they are and what they go through. No matter, and I think it doesn't just apply to girls, but as well to like anyone in general.
Beautiful.
Well said.
Thank you.
This song seems to promote violence against the elderly. I watched the video. I was highly offended.
That's not what it's about. That's not what that video is about.
If you recall,
metaphorical.
The elderly woman was well strapped in, and she helped fix her glasses. So
she was having a blast.
So Madonna was complying with the American standards of automobile safety.
I wonder if you guys know that this song was also featured in an episode of Glee.
Really?
I heard that. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Had the boys sing it instead of the girls. It was like all boys singing it.
So Madonna's
what she's doing it with the lady in the video. That lady probably was a victim of patriarchy for her entire life. And then Madonna takes her and she fucks
and victimizes her.
Yes. She said, okay, let's get your revenge. You're going to die soon. And the lady, she's like drinking a milkshake or whatever and watching everything.
Yeah. But I mean, if you notice in the video, she's being very destructive. She's running people over, but she stops to throw her fries in the garbage. She does not live
oh
there.
My God, you said that. My other friend from London, he said the same thing about it. It's the thing that you pay attention to the video.
We are going to move through to track 9, Paradise Not For Me.
I mean, I love this song. It's so, like, it just puts you in a mood. Like, just shut the lights off, put your, you know, earbuds in and just, like, close your eyes and just be transported. You know, it's the longest track on the song, on the album, I believe. And it's just, I don't know, I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's, like, also, like, kind of, like, to me, this is, like, the sequel of, like, Nobody's Perfect. Mm. In a way where it's, like, that same sort of, like, production of, like,
true
auto-tune and stuff.
It's the one song on the album that never fails to take me outside of myself. And and just like her, when I listen to that one particular song, I see a movie playing in my head of forbidden love and people being executed for who they are. And that's where the words come in.
Oh my God.
Into your eyes, my face remains. And for everyone else who can have a love that is accepted, that is where they live in paradise. But it's not for me, because your paradise is not for me.
Yes, that's something too. Yeah.
And that Confessions tour performance. Oh my God,
gorgeous!
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I'm glad she did that live.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean the lyrics in the song. It's this song to me is just from that category that involuntarily I created last podcast. 6 minutes of pure heaven.
That is
well, true. I think this song is definitely a cornerstone to this album because it is just like transcends everything. She brought in her Kabbalistic teachings in the song as well. I mean, like, come on, this is a really, like, you can't, any Madonna fan would not dispute this song.
Is track 10 gone? Is it a very good way to conclude this album? Or do people think that there was a better track that could have rounded us off?
Well, it depends what version of the album
this
you
is true.
Have.
This is true.
I always listen to American Pie in the end. So to me, gone is not the last. It's not the last song.
On the standard issue, gone is a very good way of closing it off. I think it's a really beautifully written ballad. And it hits me personally because at the time this song came out, there was someone that I was in love with that I could not have. And this song just resonated with me and made me, or gave me, I guess, some kind of strength or courage to move on. And so this song helped so much.
Wow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful track ending. I think the way that the whole music album flows. Like I said, it starts off like you're at the club, and then as it goes progresses, it kind of slows down. And then after Paradise, the way Gone hits, it's like, to me, it feels like the sun's rising, like the morning after, like just the way the guitar hits and settling out and just like explosive sound. It's like the sun's rising on a new chapter, a new day.
Yeah. I see this song as like being like you said, like the morning after, like it's kind of like the closing to like a soundtrack, and like all of Madonna's albums work in that way where they have a certain structure to them where they'll have an opening and then a story that flows with it. And this is like the way to end with it, that it's like the closing credits to the movie.
Exactly.
Now, the reason I specifically asked around, was this the right track to close the album, is because a particular critic, and let's call him David Brown from Entertainment Weekly, because that's his name, he wrote this about the flow of the album. It's her most patchwork record since the Sean Penn years. In the way it tiptoes around sundry moods and beats, music is frustratingly inconsistent, as if Madonna herself wasn't even sure where to venture next. And at times it feels like a collection of sounds, clever, intriguing ones to be sure. However, they seek to compensate for ordinary melodies and Madonna's stoic delivery.
I know that sometimes as fans, we want to get defensive and say that it's because they hate on her, but There are many critics who are just doing their job, and that's what they have to do, and they're just being honest with themselves. Now, in regards to when they talk about her voice, they can say whatever they want. She is not Mariah. She is not Celine. But every time she sings, especially when she does a ballad, she infuses every single word with a lot of emotion that you can actually feel it, which is not something that Celine or Mariah often do.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the artwork of the music album. What do we make of the cover, the back cover, the booklets, and just the whole feel of the entire music era?
Love the artwork. I think it was the first album after Ray of Light not to include the lyrics inside the actual pages, which was disappointing because I like to know exactly what
I'm listening
to. Fans
love the lyric books, don't they? Yes. Then we could have solved the music question.
Exactly. And just to add, even though it wasn't on the standard issue, the bonus track in Japan and on some of the singles, Siberaga.
Yes.
James loves that song. It's a stunning song. It's Shanti 2.0. And when she performed when she did it at the MDNA tour.
Yes.
This lady who was in front of me was surprised that I knew every single word. Do I know what I'm saying? No, but I know it word for word. So, artwork is beautiful. The aesthetic is beautiful. I like the themes that carry through all the music videos. So I think music was a big win for her, not only in how it sounded, but also how it looked.
This is iconic imagery. When you think of all of Madonna's looks, and my God, there are a lot of them, the music era imagery is iconic to non-Madonna fans even. The cowboy hat, it is synonymous with Madonna beyond the Madonna community. Mandonna, what do you say?
So the aesthetic was beautiful. Obviously, I mentioned before, Jean-Baptiste Mondino shot it. Very iconic. Like, now everyone's trying to do a country album. Look at Lady Gaga. Look at Kylie. They're trying to emulate that whole aesthetic, but without the substance or music.
Well, now you've offended my heart.
Yes, I'll be.
I'm sorry. This aesthetic was beautiful. I don't know if any of you got the special edition booklet version of it, like with the buckle. It was like a metal buckle on the deluxe version. I bought that at the day of the open. Like, it was in different colors. There was like a pink one and blue
one. What color is your record?
Mine is the powder blue one, and it's like the hard buckle. It's like a cowboy buckle on it.
So it has a buckle. Mine doesn't have it, but it's blue as well.
Yes, so it has the buckle on it. And, you know, Madonna is always going to be changing the game when it comes to aesthetics and looks, and just to bring that full vibe. And I also want to mention that going back to the music single, the video had Debbie Mazar and Nikki Harris in the video.
Ghetto Fabulous.
She brought that, and the strip club vibe, like, you know, she can be the rapper going into the club, strip clubs, and the girl dancing on her. Yeah. And that was
And come on, let's say something very important. Every performance of music live is amazing.
You got to talk about the t-shirts, surely. So she has Britney Spears, she has Kylie, and then she eventually reveals herself as the Material Girl. Justin, do you have anything to say on that? We haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I think that as far as the artwork is concerned, it's probably my favorite. I remember hearing the music single, going to go buy it, having no idea what the cover was going to look like. You know, you have it in your mind. And then when I got there, and it was like her laying on hay with a cowboy hat. I mean, it just, like, wow. Who would have thought that would have been the artwork for this album? It just blew me away. I also love in the CD, when you open it up, behind the CD, it was like a high heel shoe laying on hay, like a Dorothy and Wizard of Oz type imagery. I loved it. That was amazing.
Yeah, there was a bit of a homage to, you know, The Wizard of Oz, wasn't there, and Judy Garland?
Yeah.
Well, the main artwork, like, if you notice, like, it's a blue hue. It's all blue. And I feel like when you think about that, that time of night is about going out. So, like, the sun is setting, and she's about to go out in the night in the town. That's what I saw in that album cover. Like, she's standing in front of her car, and, like, I'm ready to go out with this.
She's ready to go. Like,
yeah.
And she doesn't even have her disco pants on.
It's more like cooler tones that's there. And it's like, I like that it's all like simple and it's all palatable. And I think that's why it remains as like one of her most iconic album covers.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Yes, James, we love it.
50 Shades of Blue. I love that interview she gave about 50 Shades of Grey. She said, come on, no man eats pussy like that.
Hard
said that about 50 Shades of Grey.
It doesn't matter which podcast it is. James will always bring up the vagina. It doesn't matter which one it is. We'll go through a few year-end charts. 23 on the Australian ARIA charts it finished the year on. I always like to look at the end-of-year charts. I feel like they're more meaningful than the peak positions. We're looking at places like in the European top 100 albums, it finished 12th in the year 2000. The German charts, 13th, the same as in France. Switzerland, number 8. In the UK, a huge market, number 10. And in the US Billboard top 100, it finished at 64th, which is still huge sales. And the units this album moved, it was sort of like the end of the era where we actually moved units, so to speak, CDs, cassettes, all of that sort of stuff. But it did move units. And for us here in Australia, this was the Olympic year. So Madonna's soundtrack towards the end of the year actually it evokes a lot of happy memories for a lot of Australian people. The Olympic year was massively positive for us here in Australia. Why should people who are not Madonna fans, why should they listen to music? And should they listen to music?
I think if you want to listen to something that gives you a great timestamp of the year 2000, but that was just sonically and lyrically different, and from an artist who was around for so long and was still taking such risks in creating sounds that could alienate fans, she took a major risk with this album, and it turned out to be absolutely wonderful. She spoke on issues with what it feels like for a girl. So I think it's an album that anyone can get into, no matter what genre of music you like, and just really enjoy it. And it gives you a good sense of who Madonna was and still is.
Lovely, Sarah.
I think it's an album. It depends. I think the singles are very much for everybody. The album tracks, whenever I show this album to other people that are non-Madonna fans, and it's like when we get to like the album tracks, they sort of want me to skip it in a way. But, you know, it depends on like where you're, mind you, this is to younger people that I'm showing this album to. They tend to like more, the albums that they tend to like more are like her earlier works, like her first album and stuff, where it's more simple and straightforward. Whereas this has more sophisticated sounds in a way where you have to have a certain artistic ear in a way.
And sure. Mr. Justin?
Well, I think that this album was really ahead of its time. I think it was the first time that you really heard acoustic guitar with backbeats behind it. And I think nowadays you see a lot of country artists doing remixes with like Diplo and stuff. And I'm like, well, Madonna did that back in the 2000s. Like, that's been done, you know?
Madonna did first.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really, really ahead of its time.
And James?
I think it's the perfect portrait of the year 2000. It's the last year of the 20th century. But still, it's a portrait of that year, but that doesn't mean that it's dated. You don't say, oh, this is a 2000s album. No.
Albie.
So this album definitely needs to be listened to. You know, if you play the album today, it still sounds ahead of the times. It's like, if you listen to the radio now and compare to the music album, literally, like, this is blows everything away out of the radio. You have electronica, you have electro funk, you have the country twang, you have trip hop. I mean, it's a meld of genres that work so well. And she's still working with Miraways today with her Madam X album. So that tells you that this combo of production with Madonna and Miraways is timeless.
Yeah. It's Miraways is the new Patrick Leonard.
He is.
That's true. I think as well, like, this is, like, you, I totally agree with what both of you just said, is that this, no one says that this is, like, a dated album, because when you look back to music that was popular then, like, Britney and Christina's first album, those are, like, so those are like the most dated albums in their whole music catalog.
They're not
timeless in a way, and this is like, this has such an interesting production feel to it that you can't say that it's dated, really.
But Impressive Instant still played at the clubs. That tells you a lot.
Which clubs, Albie? Invite me to this club.
All in West Hollywood, baby. Come on down.
Bitch, I lived 2 years in the city. West Hollywood never played in Impressive Instant.
Well, I do when I tell the DJs to, and they always play it.
So you're going to be the DJ in my next party.
Yes, sounds like put a record on.
Tell me something. Who's had fun this afternoon?
I've had so much fun. This has been awesome.
Yeah. It's been a Madonna party in a way. Thank you so much to all of you. So we've got Mr. Albie, thank you very much, also known as Mandonna, Sarah, Antonio, Justin, and of course, James. And you have been listening to the Music Podcast. Please leave your comments below. We're also going to be premiering this because I'm obsessed with that feature on YouTube. So I invite all of you guys on the line to come along to the premiere where you can talk live to people who are actually listening to it for the first time. I'll try to get the time right so that everyone around the world gets a fair shake at it, okay? Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Have a great night. Bye.
You too.
You're
going to turn it off already.